Hello. Is this thing on?
Is it on? We're back.
Is this working? Oh my gosh. Corey, how are you?
Will, thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh. It's so good to see you.
Dude, this is going to be fun.
I don't want to act like we haven't seen each other in the many months since we've posted on this podcast. Mm-hmm. But it has been since July that we've recorded for this podcast of 2023.
Mm-hmm. 7 months.
Yeah. Yeah. And we want everybody here to listening. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, thanks for still listening after this podcast has been dormant for 7 long months.
Yeah, let's get back into it.
Yeah, but we have a piece of history podcast coming out. The one that you're listening to right now, after the kind of a probably a not so easy cut, you will notice that we are talking in July 2023 terminology and lingo. I don't know if any of us saw Oppenheimer yet at the time of this recording. It's possible we did. I don't know.
Was it out?
I'm not sure.
I don't think it was.
Yeah. In any case, it's an old piece of history.
Yeah.
And I hope you, I hope everyone listening enjoys it. And be on the lookout for a season finale to our season 2 podcast.
Yeah.
As well as a year in review.
Dude.
Of talking about 2023 movies.
I remember a couple of the ones that came out that I saw.
A few good ones, I should say. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, after that, a whole brand new season of Another Look content your way.
I have some sad movies coming up, everybody.
Get prepped. Dig your hole right now. Mm-hmm. This is how it's going to be.
Get your blankets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Another Look in 2024 with Will and Corey. It's back.
I'm excited.
Yeah, we're here. And I hope you enjoy the episode on Piranha.
Piranha. Well, hello, everyone.
Is this thing on?
Are we still here?
I guess we are.
We're back.
Yeah, we're back after
a month or something.
Too much time.
Yeah, agree.
We were feeling the yearning for Another Look podcast.
Absolutely.
But yeah, a little bit of an unplanned hiatus, but Corey, welcome back to Another Look.
Yes, thank you, Will, for having me.
Oh my gosh.
So much has been going on.
Yeah, a lot has happened. I went to a wedding in Minnesota. Mm-hmm.
I got a new job.
That's insane news. Congratulations to Corey.
You. Yep, big upgrade.
I already knew this, but I'm acting surprised for the pod.
I'm telling you for the first time.
What?
Oh my God. Why didn't you tell me sooner?
No, on the up and up, exciting things. So there's a lot of things that have been going on, but we still have to talk about the movies.
Oh, yeah.
We have to talk about...
Hey, everyone listening. Do you love movies, but you don't know how to love movies? This is Corey from the Another Look podcast. Stay tuned for this episode.
I didn't know we included ads on our podcast.
Quick ad break.
An ad for the podcast that people are already hopefully listening to with...
Yeah, skip.
Yeah, everyone's skip. Like, God, I can't believe this. It's ridiculous. Well, judging from clicking play and seeing the title, we
are... Except for that one person.
Yeah, who closes their eyes and goes... Yeah.
Did I click it?
Okay, I think it's out. It's playing. Okay. We watched, for my pick... Piranha 3D from 2010.
Dude.
Directed by Alexander Aja.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Of Crawl. Did you see Crawl?
No.
Excellent creature feature in the same way that this one is. Also directed The Hills Have Eyes remake, which is...
Didn't see it.
Properly, we're going to be saying this word a lot, properly gnarly, a pretty vicious film. One of the better, like, horror remakes of the mid-2000s. So, you know, he kind of in the same way as JCS, Jean-Collet Serrat, who did House of Wax Orphan, there were these guys that were kind of coming out of... I don't know, the horror boom in the mid-2000s, mm-hmm. and they had a really strong sensibility for extremity, for like pushing limits, having fun with like kind of stock horror premises, mm-hmm. you know, like yeah. Orphan is about, I mean, if you've ever seen Orphan, maybe, maybe not.
Sorry, everybody.
But it's, I don't,
three in a row.
Listen, three in we're a row. Striking out here.
I didn't see House of Wax either. Wait, okay. Was that the one with Paris Hilton?
Yeah.
I have seen that.
See, okay, yeah. Okay, we're okay. We're on to something.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a really, I don't know if it's a smart fondness for these films. I mean, I will defend most of them.
Sure.
But there are some in that mix that are terrible, like the Fog remake.
You know, here's what I liked. I liked most of the Fog remake,
uh-huh.
except I wish it had the original's ending.
I see. Okay.
So I kind of, and I remember seeing the Fog and kind of feeling a little underwhelmed about most of it, except for that ending of mm-hmm. the original.
So you're yeah. saying if you took the Fog remake and added the original Fog's mm-hmm. ending, you would have a perfect Fog film. Frankenfog, if you will.
I saw the Fog remake in the theater, and that was the only time I've seen it.
Yeah.
So I'm sure if I watched it again, I'd be
we
like,
got to throw on the original, too,
this
for
isn't
you.
That great. Dude, super quick side note. I had, like, the DVD. I got it as a gift. It was one of those double-sided
yeah.
DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to take it out of the, you know, the thing. It's got that, like, button latch or you know, not like the press down in the middle, but like mm-hmm. the two little, you know, things that secure
right.
it to the DVD.
Yeah, like the hub.
Yeah.
The hub. And the disc
so,
hub.
Mm-hmm. And so I can't get this disc out. It cracked halfway on one of the sides.
That's fucking horrible. That's a nightmare.
But I'm sure I would like the original The Fog a lot more, you know, like just
It's really one of Carpenter's best films. It's really spooky and low key and
mm-hmm. Ending though.
But I mean, my God, unbelievable! Mm-hmm. Like just such a great campfire ghost movie.
Hey, when did like the Friday the 13th and the Nightmare on Elm Street? Was that like 2009?
Yeah, it was around there. Like,
is that kind of in the
like 2009, 2010? Like this era of studio horror with
yeah.
like with New Line. With Dimension, I think mm-hmm, this mm-hmm. was just a lot of really kind of interesting takes on the material. Like the Black
yeah.
Christmas remake
Ooh.
Is something I will
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I will defend like to my dying day.
That one
really
was good.
Really incredible. You know, I love the original Black Christmas, but the. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying but that the new one's better.
Yeah, two different sentences.
Right, exactly. But it has a very grindhouse sensibility to the original that I really appreciate. And just like mm-hmm. the regional kind of Canadian feel to mm-hmm. it is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
The remake just goes full on slasher Christmas with basically
yeah.
every single it's just Christmas galore, which is great.
Yeah.
And I like seasonal horror. I always think that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then the Blumhouse one that came out, a lot of people trashed that. That really wasn't that bad either. I enjoyed parts of that for sure. So the point is I'm really soft on horror remakes on established properties because I enjoy just seeing what they're going to do. I'm
yeah.
like, and I like the idea. The Nightmare on Elm Street was bad, though. I remember it being bad. But I want more nightmare movies. I just
yeah.
don't need it like grim, dark, like pushing
yeah.
in more on like I know he's like a pedophile, but like
right.
I like can we just make Freddy Krueger goofy and silly and like have him say puns while he
yeah.
goes into dreams? Like
yeah.
that's what I like about the sequels at least.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the original's mm-hmm. probably the only. The original and the third one are probably the only ones to really delve into like the traumatic elements in a unique way.
Yeah.
So, basically, horror franchises got a huge boom in the mid-2000s, and it was mixed in with like torture porn, as it was labeled.
Hostel,
Saw,
that was a little earlier.
A bunch of those, and it kind of reaches a weird like nexus point, like a weird middle ground with Piranha, because it's. On one hand, a remake of an established property.
Yeah.
But the original Piranha was not by any means a groundbreaking classic. Like, like you would say Nightmare is, or yeah. you know, maybe this is a little charitable, but even Friday the 13th is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the original Piranha, Joe Dante,
hell yeah,
funny,
mm-hmm.
clever, sure, scary when it can't, when it needs to be, but mm-hmm. very much like, remember Jaws? You know, yeah, it has
yeah.
like
yeah,
that.
What else can we do?
It has that level of awareness to it. Mm-hmm. So this is, it's not really in the same level as like a, adapting, you know, taking like The Hills Have Eyes and bringing it to the 21st century.
Sure.
So
yeah,
Piranha then goes the route of Girls Gone Wild in and it's oh just great. I really can't praise this movie enough.
Dude,
vicious.
Oh my
I will keep saying vicious. I'll keep saying gnarly. I'll keep saying just absolute orgy of gore.
Gorgy. Grizzly is the term grizzly. That I will be overusing during this podcast because, like, it's the only, like, appropriate term. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I tried to think of a word that is, like, gruesome or, you know, like, what's like, on a higher level, you know, that means, like, grotesque and, like, violent and painful
mm-hmm.
and, like, terrifying and like nauseating and just
keep giving those words because
dude,
that's what this feels like.
I feel there are a lot of like oh man that hurts
mm.
you know like I don't think about that aspect of a lot of like in a lot of horror movies. I think, you know, it's always there surface level like oh wouldn't it suck to get stabbed or whatever or you know to get your body cut in half or whatever, you know, it's mm-hmm. like I don't always go to the like feeling of it
mm-hmm.
you know or it's in my thoughts of me going like ooh that's gruesome you know like oh
right.
that death was holy shit like that's
yeah.
you know some spectacle
but a lot of slasher deaths even modern ones don't really linger on like the pain
yeah.
it's more of like the damage that it has to the body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, when you mm-hmm. watch, you know, the Friday the 13th remake or something, it's like, it's not so much about, like, oh, this is really, like, oh, it's painful to watch. It's more of just like, oh, that guy just got an arrow in his head.
Yeah,
whatever,
yeah.
You know.
Maybe, like, the Saw movies or, like, mm-hmm. Hostel is, like, yeah, the torture
those
stuff.
Push the... They're still alive. They're feeling it.
In Saw, for mm-hmm. sure, because it's all about the traps, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, that's what you want to see. It's, mm-hmm. like, interesting torture device ideas. But, like... But, yeah, so there's a bunch... we'll get to the scene in Piranha.
that's all you have to say, though.
Dude, honestly, like, anybody... So, we watched this movie, like, a month or a little... Maybe more.
Close to a month ago, maybe even
yeah.
a little bit more, yeah.
And, like, since then, anybody that's even remotely interested in movies in general,
mm-hmm.
I'm just so, like, I just want to be like, you were talking about movies? Did you see, you should check out Piranha 3D. It's fucked. It's absolutely
it's,
fucked. Like,
it's fucked.
It's like...
Corey LaFleur.
They're not even, you know, it's like... It's like, oh, I want to, you know, I was watching Downton Abbey or whatever. It's like, we're talking about movies? You should watch Piranha 3D. You know, like...
Forget Barbenheimer.
Dude.
You got to go see Piranha, and then afterwards you go see Meg 2 the Trench.
Oh, my God. Dude, I'm just like, I just can't get over how brutal Piranha 3D is.
Yeah.
And, like... You know, it's not the whole time.
There's an escalation
yes.
to it, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk a little
yeah.
bit about
so
the movie
this was
first,
your first
before we get to...
This was your first viewing of it, right?
Yes. Right. Yeah.
So, I'm curious, when I said Piranha 3D,
mm-hmm.
like... Were you expecting anything from this? Because I think
yeah.
a lot of people at the time... There are some, like, not raves, but there were people who understood what it was going for. But I think a lot of people yeah. were like, you know, it's kind of like Sharknado-esque.
Yes.
I don't even know if Sharknado was out at the time, but very, like, sci-fi channel.
Totally.
And, like, it, yeah, there is some of that with this. It definitely has a similar sensibility, but there's also a level of craft to it and a level of, like, gruesomeness that kind of pushes it way past what those movies do.
Yeah, you're not showing that on TV.
Yeah. Part of it is, I mean, I guess to talk about the movie, it's about a coastal town where this boy from college is home and he has to watch his kids while his mom, who's a sheriff, is out surveying the town and making sure all the spring breakers are okay, essentially. Yeah. And he has to watch his brother and little brother and sister. Mm-hmm. But he gets invited on this porn boat where Jerry O'Connell plays this porn director.
Great cast.
No, seriously, Jerry O'Connell in this unbelievable scumbag performance.
So
it's
good.
Just absolutely, he's so nasty in it.
Yeah.
He gets invited to kind of be of assistance on this porn shoot, on this boat, on spring break, all of this. Yeah. And at the same time, there is a rupture in the crust of the earth, or the sea floor, and out come out this absolute just school, multiple schools of piranha.
Like an ancient evil.
Right. Yeah, like a dinosaur-esque piranha.
Yeah.
And of course, spring breakers, piranha. Are you, like, are we seeing the connections here? Are we seeing the dollar signs? But, God, like, I don't know. Talking about the plot is kind of... It's there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's there. Beforehand, you get a lot... There's a lot of sexual humor.
Mm-hmm.
You get your titties. You get all what you need in terms of that.
I mean, there's, like, some full frontal in there, too.
It's not shy. It's not shy. A lot of
Which is great.
A lot of the...
I want it.
Yeah. And, like, this is the type of movie to do that.
Yeah.
It's sleazy. It's fun.
Yeah.
A lot of 2000s horror films were really on the edge of what you could show. I feel like a lot of horror now in general isn't more, like, not more conservative, but holds things a little closer to their chest.
Yeah, demure.
Yeah. You know, it's like, I don't know. There's a lot to this, like, realm of filmmaking around this period that is, like, all out.
Yeah.
Like, you watch the Friday the 13th remake, I think there's at least two sex scenes in that are insanely graphic and just, like, absolutely absurd.
Yeah.
You know, so that's part of the fun. And this movie has that in spades. And then the piranha just have a lot of fun with it, of course.
Yeah, and there's, like, you know, to talk about the plot too, I forget the kid's name. He's got a name.
He's a kid who's in over his head on the porn boat. And then you have his mom,
Elizabeth Shue,
fantastic.
Love her.
Ving Rhames,
excellent
here. He's another sheriff on duty. You have a quick cameo appearance from Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah,
for the Jaws connection.
Yeah, I mean, he's even listening to, or he's singing the you know, that I Don't Want to Go Home song.
Yeah,
you know, to even more be like, hey, remember Jaws? Not that he already looks like, you know, Brody.
Hooper.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because every single aquatic horror movie has lived in the shadow of Jaws.
Totally.
In a way that, like, every single dinosaur movie has lived in the shadow of Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
These movies are so good at what they do and so kind of encapsulate what you want from that type of movie that it's...
Yeah.
Every single other movie tries to go a different direction or tries to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly they fail because the formula was perfected the first time.
Yeah.
Stuff like, you know, in terms of if we're talking aquatic horror, you have like Deep Blue Sea.
That's good.
That one's fun.
Yeah.
You know, there are fun ones still. It's more of just a matter of, like, it was perfected in this specific way that everybody loves and they're going to watch it every summer for the rest of their lives. So how do we change it up?
Yeah.
This one, it's like Spring Breakers, Piranha.
Mm-hmm.
That's a simple enough premise, but it does play with that, like, self-awareness in a way that's like, we know that, like, this is kind of where we're at in terms of things.
Yeah, and, like, the kid, you know, he's got, like, a crush on a girl, and he sees her get, like, invited to the porn boat. You know, I don't know if he knows... that it's like a porn thing, because Jerry O'Connell's just like, hey, you want to make some money tomorrow? Meet me on my boat or whatever.
Yeah, it's kind of just like, you want to hang out and I'm going to film some stuff. Yeah. I feel like he does get it eventually, but yeah, he's kind of portrayed, our main character, protagonist, yeah, is kind of portrayed as like, he's shy and he's, yeah, he wants to be with this girl, but this girl like had an ex that was like a real douche, just like a real, mm-hmm, bully.
Mm-hmm. She's like the popular girl, yeah, or whatever, you, mm-hmm, know. She gets invited to the party, and then her, yeah, like, ex-bro, you know, douchebag friends, like, don't get invited. And then they see main character get on, and they're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, how is he on there? Yeah. The plotting in the characters is very juvenile, and it just feels like, you know, teenagers are going to, yeah, see a horror movie during the summer, mm-hmm, let's cater it to them. So it, yeah, it feels very of that age, you know, giving them, mm-hmm, a lot of shock value, a lot of swearing and nudity, and, yeah, and then eventually violence.
And there's like another female character who's like the, you know, she's not the popular girl or whatever, but, you know, but the main character likes her, and then, uh-huh, she gets invited on the boat, and then main character's like, ooh, or, you know, you shouldn't be here or whatever, because this is going to be like,
yeah, know, you're not a porn star. But what are you doing here?
I like that she's like, she's like, well, if I want to go wild, like, you aren't going to stop me. Or, yeah, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I live my own life. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
It's not, and so I like that, even though it's like barely there, it's still some like a little bit different,
right,
you know, where like, he seems like he's a little bit jealous of her or something, or, you know, when
it plays with that for sure.
Because, yeah, there's a part where like they're on the boat and then they're trying to get this girl who's like more innocent, mm-hmm, you know, and then she does like some body shots or whatever off of like one of the porn star girls, you, mm-hmm, know, and then main character's like, he's liking it, but then he's also like protective of her or something, you know, mm-hmm, and I like that because I like thinking that, like, yeah, she has autonomy, you know, she can get drunk and fuck whoever she wants or whatever, if, exactly, she wants, you know.
Yeah, and he doesn't make up his mind, you know, that's the thing, yeah, about him, like she very clearly likes him, mm-hmm, and he's just like, oh, I don't know, you know, and he's, yeah, nervous and shy, mm-hmm, but then he's also really protective and kind of just like weirdly like controlling about what she does,
mm-hmm,
so like this has some of those layers to it. I, yeah, mean, I wouldn't even so much call it a layer. It's just, mm-hmm, like, it's there. Mm-hmm. It's something for like you to, it goes around in your brain. You're like, oh yeah, this, yeah, is happening. And then it cuts to a piranha like looking at them from, yeah, the water.
Yeah.
And you're like, yes. Yeah, the piranha's like, whoa. That's what they sound like.
Yeah,
they,
yeah,
growl in this. It's so, yeah, funny. No, the piranha. Oh my god! Like the star of the show. Like, yeah, with a movie with multiple porn stars,
mm-hmm,
full frontal. The fact, mm-hmm, that the dinosaur piranha is like, yeah, that's the main thing you talk about.
Yeah.
Here. but you know, it cuts back and forth between like, yeah, this kind of this. Girls Gone Wild, porn star plotting, like, mm-hmm, kind of building up the suspense, giving, yeah, them, kind of putting them in the worst possible position,
yeah,
for something to happen, and then a lot of things kind of fall together at once.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that the beginning's slow. It kind of just like, it builds in a, yeah, kind of a classic fashion,
yeah,
almost Jaws-esque in a way,
for sure.
But the end of Jaws doesn't really have what this movie has in the final third.
oh no. I mean, Quint's death is
pretty bloody,
is gruesome.
No, like, sure, like, I think a lot of people forget that, like, they just show the shark munching on him
for not seeing the shark, or, you know, like a ton of violence, like the whole movie, you know, mm-hmm, there's like the head, you know, and mm-hmm, the Kintner boy, you know, like, mm-hmm, I mean, that's like bloody, you know, and you see just enough, you know, and that's like the perfect thing about Jaws, you know.
Right.
But then you get it at the end there, you know, it's like you're seeing the shark, you're seeing what it's capable of,
yep,
you know,
mm-hmm,
and just like, and the editing in that moment, and like Quint screaming, you know, and like,
well, there's that shot of Quint when he gets fully bitten into. It shows the shark biting, and then it cuts to him getting all that blood in his mouth.
Yeah,
and it's incredibly graphic. Like for the time, you know, a PG film.
That's right. It's, I mean, PG. Yeah.
There was no PG-13 at the time, but I don't know if you would re-rate that movie now, it wouldn't get a PG.
Yeah,
I don't know 13. If it's ever been re-rated. I'm not quite sure on like how the MPAA, how like that process works.
Yeah.
But I do know that it stayed like PG, and that's like pretty impressive. Like, if they had kind of put it under that reconsideration process, but Jaws is very brutal, and like when he's pulled, Quint is pulled into the water, and he's, you kind of just like see his lifeless body just like go under the surface. It is horrifying. That is some really strong stuff. Not to mention like when the Kittner boy dies, and it's like that, there's that fountain of blood.
The fountain, it's like kind of far away, or you know, the way that it's like still obscured, you know, but it's still like, oh my
god, it's very much like you know what's happening, and it's and it doesn't shy away from like probably what that would look like.
You're still standing on the beach, you know,
and you
and
see
it's like,
that.
Holy fuck!
And then there's also like he's like the instructor who gets bit, and then the leg. See the severed leg in full view for like 5 seconds.
Yeah,
you know, Jaws has its moments, absolutely. But this Piranha is like, if you know, if Jaws is a galaxy, this is like the fucking
universe.
Yeah, like the whole enchilada.
It is.
I mean, let's end the podcast. Yeah. Everybody just go watch it.
Just go watch it.
And
get back to us about the scene.
But the great work by Greg Nicotero and company.
Dude, when I saw his name, I was like, yep.
Essentially, this movie builds to an absolute orgy of violence when a bunch of piranha get into this spring break kind of area where like all these kids are jumping off of their boats, they're drinking, they're having a good time.
Yeah, there's like live music, there's like a water stage, you know, it's like a whole part of like, it's the other half of like what's happening in the movie, you know, it's like this party's going on, you know, it's gonna be a lot of people, it's great, you know, we need the summer dollars.
Exactly. And so the everyone's there tolerating these spring breakers, and then the piranha say, I've had enough. And it's,
they attack a couple people, you know, and then it's like, hey, something's going on. You know, it, again, Jaws, it's like,
the buildup is really incredible.
Yeah, a little bit of some body was found, you know, there was an attack. You know, meanwhile, the main character in the porn boat, they're like in kind of a more secluded area.
Yeah.
So they don't know about like what's happening, you know, and then Elizabeth Shue and Ving Rhames, you know, they're like, hey, we got to warn these people or like get them out of the water. They're not going to like that because they want to party, you know, so they're going around being like, we got to stop partying. And everyone's like, fuck you, the cops, drinking beer, you know, and then like, little do they know the horror.
No, that's what this movie turns into. It's absurd horror. I've like my most recent rewatch here with you was like, yeah, like that's what this is. It's horrifying because you're seeing what is being done to the human body.
Yes.
And you're like, is this realistic? Is it not? You know, that's the thing. Yeah. And that's what kind of makes it, when you're watching it, just totally unnerving. And also like, you can't take your eyes off of it, especially someone who loves practical effects. Like, there's a lot of CG here, but it's really well blended. And like, there's like a moment where someone is pulled out of the water, and all their first half of their body is normal. The second half, all their legs is just skeleton bones. But like, there's flesh dripping off of the sides that the piranhas didn't get.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this and I'm like, you know, it doesn't make sense, but you buy it for every second of like this full sequence. It is totally overwhelming.
It's long. It's like a long scene. There's a lot going on in every shot. There's like probably like 50 different things to look at.
Yeah.
In the distance, in the foreground, you know, then it's like cutting to close-ups of some gruesome shit.
It's an absolute showcase of a horror scene, I think.
It's way over the top. It's totally insane. Like, it, so this scene is like probably the grisliest, like, and just like the volume of of grisly imagery, you know, that I've ever seen in a movie. One comparison I want to make is like Terrifier 2.
Sure.
So the girl in the bed.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, Terrifier 2 has some fucking brutal shit.
That it's definitely one of the more brutal and gory films I've seen in a theater.
I think I would put both of these movies at the tippy top of grisliest, most gruesome on-screen stuff that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But Terrifier 2 is like condensed, you know, especially, I don't want to give too much away, but the girl in the bed.
Oh yeah, that entire sequence is almost unwatchable.
That is like the condensed version of this scene in Piranha 3.
Yeah.
Like, if you could expand that moment in Terrifier 2 to be like 10 times bigger, it's this scene in Piranha 3D. Like, those are, they're the same. Just one of them's like very localized, and then the other one is like just a blowout.
Yeah.
You know, so.
That's the thing about Terrifier 2, is like, it has these really long, epic scenes of characterization and narrative. You know, it has dream sequences, and, you know, there's so much in Terrifier 2 that is not beyond its means, but like ambitious, very ambitious. And then once it, all of that though is in service to the kills, and that's kind of like the waiting game you're playing as you're watching this. You're like, God, what is gonna go what is gonna happen next? How is this gonna how is it gonna evolve? How is this person gonna die? When is this guy Art the Clown, when is he gonna show up again? All of that was like epic, in a sense. And Piranha doesn't really go for that, but what it has is this build up to a showcase of gore, and just like Terrifier 2, it just turns the camera on and just lets it roll.
Oh my God, dude.
Like, there's not really a moment where the director is like, enough.
You know, some of the practical effects that really stick with me since this viewing of Piranha 3D is like the pink, the shade of pink that is like the muscle, you know, like, I definitely have a couple moments that I want to point out, but it's like seeing the inside of a body and not just like guts, you know, and like dark blood or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I definitely, there is a spectrum of fake blood, you know, from like thin and pink to like thick and black,
right?
You know, and this is like, it's in the water, so it's like you're getting a lot of like, you know, soggy flesh or whatever. You the viewer, the listener at home to this podcast, wish you could see our faces, because the whole time
we're like cringy.
We're like, ooh.
Also, I mean, it's probably a little late for a content warning, but yeah, we're talking about a bunch of gore in this. So,
but
yeah.
Like, that shade of pink of like the human muscle or something. But then it's also like, I, like you're saying, I believe that this is how it would really look because the practical effects like sell it so well.
Yeah.
But feeling like these people are getting like bitten up in the water, you know, so there's some like diluted element to their blood, or just to their skin and their muscles or whatever, and their bone. And now they're getting hit with sun, and it's like, this whole movie is just in the daytime.
That's the thing. Yeah, there's like another whole, there's a couple of night scenes where like they find that boat, and that's very much like a homage to, you know, when they find Ben Gardner's boat in Jaws. But a majority of it is bright sunshine, summer day in Florida or Louisiana. I don't remember where exactly it was. Coastal town.
Yeah. So you really get to see it.
And
everything.
And you think like at a certain point, oh, they're going to cut away from this. It's like they cut away, but then they come back. You know, it, basically this scene runs for like 15 minutes, it feels like.
Like, you go to a wide shot and then you just get to see all of it. And then it's like, it's like, oh my God, this is too much. Okay, cut to, you know, a close-up of like bone, bare bone with like flesh just gnarled off. Like,
yeah.
Oh my
and
god.
And it has its silly moments too. Like it has a scene where like a penis is bitten off.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where I think there's a scene where a piranha goes up a vagina of some sort, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it has like those crude moments too.
Yeah.
But at the same time, a lot of it is taken very like the gruesome dude, the pain of
it's
it
mayhem
is
it's
very like, of its time. You know, we were talking about torture porn. Yeah, we were talking about these films that were like, we're gonna remake it, but it's gonna be, you know, fucking gory. You know, it's like when you make something like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. When you remake that, there's only one thing to do, and it's to give it more Chainsaw Massacre, right?
That's right.
So when you watch something like the Michael Bay produced remake of that, or you watch Friday the 13th, you know, that's what those movies are eventually became known for.
Yeah.
As much as they were like the grandfathers of things and they didn't have a lot to it, that's what prompts these directors and producers to be like, more blood, more gore. And so Piranha, like, it perfectly makes sense for this type of movie, but the commitment to the violence here is unbelievable.
So much work, I bet, too, with like all the effects, the makeup, and
I haven't even really looked into the production, but I can't imagine how difficult this was for the effects team. And like, I want to give them a medal,
dude.
Like, it's unbelievable,
and it's like on water. You know, that just like no matter what movie you're making, like having to have boats or whatever, or like, you know, cameras in the water, like it's on water, it's just like so much harder to make, you know. But then to have like all these actors in their makeup and just like, man. And there's just, you know, like the one moment in this whole, like, or in the movie that really has stuck in my head is when there's like, there's this boat of like some dudes and this girl, and she's like paragliding or whatever, or, you know, she's connected to the back of the boat and she's got a parachute and she's strapped in or whatever, and she's topless or whatever.
Yeah. She's having fun.
Yeah. And then like they lose speed or something where she kind of like gets dropped into the water, or maybe they're like joking with her or something, like, oh, we can't go fast enough, you know?
Yeah.
And she's like, nah, I'm ready, you know? When she gets dipped in the water, you guessed it, the piranhas in
3D. Right there. They're right there.
Dude, and then she gets like the whole bottom half of her body.
Yeah, that was that part I was referencing with like her legs essentially becoming skeleton.
Dude, she doesn't even have legs.
Yeah.
You might be thinking of a different.
No, that's part. The thing. There is so much.
No, because they speed up the boat then to be like, oh, we were just joking. And then, like, when she lifts up again, she's just up
her just torso. Half,
And, like, the shot of her just hanging in her harness. Because, you know, you can kind of tell, like, I don't know if her body would be a little more slumpy or something. Or I'm always about the physics of shit. But it's, like, the way that she's, like, so stiff. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you can tell the effect was probably, like, I mean, obviously she has her legs in the, you know, making of it or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe that's holding her body up. Maybe if she was only a top half, she'd like be flipping over or whatever, falling out of them. But just thinking like she's strapped into her harness.
Yeah.
Like so tightly that it's just like holding her upper body there. And like the way she's just like floating, you know. And I don't know, like, the deadness of the way she looks, like, and thinking, like, she's probably still alive in her mind a bit to feel that she's only a top half, and to think, like, I just got eaten the fuck in half, and, like, and now I'm, like, flying in the air or whatever. Just seeing that, like, flying torso.
No, it's almost, wrestler, it's almost, like, existentially...
Oh my god, it was
upsetting,
like,
to watch. Yeah.
It wasn't like I was afraid, like a jump scare. It was definitely a unique flavor of fear that shot was giving me, where I was, it's very unsettling and just like, and I was like, oh my god. And I,
yeah, oh my god. It gives you the willies.
It's really like, scary.
Yeah.
You know? And then it's in the daytime, too. So it's like, here, look at this half body just floating there. It's like, ugh!
Well, because, you're right,
and
though.
And that's not even, like, the most painful moment
exactly.
in the movie.
You're right, because, like, I brought up that other scene, and you're like, no, that's not the right one. I'm like... there's so many gore moments in this, so many shocking deaths. Like, for me, the main one that I will always come back to is the hair in the propeller.
Yep, I was just about to bring that up.
A woman gets her hair stuck in the propeller in a propeller in the back of a boat.
Oh my
They're
God.
Trying to turn the boat on. she's down there. They turn the propeller on, and basically her entire skin and her hair is ripped back, and all you see are her wide eyeballs.
Face.
Yeah. Her white eyes. Well, you know, we're talking about this, and it is that nuts. I don't also don't want it to seem like this is a intensely upsetting experience, because it is and it isn't. If you're a gore fiend, if you like slasher films, this is going to be a fun time. But I also sometimes feel like I don't know if I would throw this on with it, like a friend looking for a horror movie.
Yeah,
because it's. At a certain point, I think it's a little too much for most people. Even for me, like, watching this, I'm like, I want to know how they did this practical effect, but I'm also, like, weirded out by how accurate and, like, real it looks.
It's, like, uncanny. Mm-hmm. I think that's part of, like, what really hits home about it is, like, how real all of it looks. And because it's practical.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you believe it, so you can feel it, you know?
It makes me think of... And these aren't the same movies at all, but they around the same time were the Rob Zombie Halloweens, where
Rob Zombie's Halloween 2.
Oh yeah, a masterpiece.
Brutal.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's the scene in that where at the beginning there's like that extended hospital scene.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where Octavia Spencer's character, who's like a random nurse, she comes out of a door and like you don't even really know that Michael's there, and she's bleeding from her mouth, and she like has a moment where she's realizing what just happened, which is that she was stabbed in the back.
Yeah.
And it takes her a moment to realize, and then she lets out this unbelievably unsettling scream. It it gives me chills just thinking about it. Horrifying performance in just like a few minutes of screen time by her.
Yeah.
But Michael then comes around the door and he stabs her for like 30 seconds. He doesn't stop, and the camera shows it like almost so close that you can just feel every single moment of the knife. It's so unbearably brutal. And I don't know what was in the air around this time, but in the same way that movie kind of not like it kind of wallows in it. It just lets you sit in the pain and the trauma of those people. Mm-hmm. You know, the Rob Zombie films are real downers. The Halloween films are downers. Mm-hmm. this one is more fun and light and kind of goofy at times.
Yeah.
But when it gets to the violence, it's the same way where it just like kind of lets you sit in it. And you're basically forced to watch a total massacre.
Massacre, dude.
And like... It kind of makes you think, like, of all the times when you've watched a movie and they cut away, and you're like, I wish I could have seen that happen. Or you see the corpse or whatever, and you're like, how did they get like that? You know, why don't they show that part? And then this movie is like, no, we're going to show it. Yeah. We're going to show all of it.
It's like, oh my God, look at all these people.
And it's like, careful what I wish for,
suffering.
I guess.
You know what's a great moment in this scene is, because it's like, it's chaos, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody's, like, trying to get on that inflatable stage or whatever to get out of the water, you know? Because they didn't listen to Elizabeth Shue and Ving Rhames. And
they fired a shotgun in the air. Like, get out of the water. And they're like, whatever.
Everyone's like, drink a beer. Fuck you. You know? And then it's like, okay, this shit's real. Get out of the water. And everyone's climbing onto this, like, inflatable stage or whatever. And it's got, like, it's a full deal. It's got lights, you know? It's, like, it's got electricity going to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, everyone's on it. And now it's, like, good idea. But then immediately bad idea because now there's too many people on this thing. And it starts tipping over back into the water. And that moment, dude, is, like, it's, like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh no, they're like no.
No, it's there's a real dark humor streak in this movie you can kind of, you're just watching everybody struggle for their life and they're all clearly just drunk out of their minds and it's almost like I feel contempt for them, but I feel great empathy for, like, what if I was in that situation?
Yeah.
Not above going to a spring break. You know, it's just like, what is happening to these people?
Yeah.
It becomes detached in a way, but also when it goes to those close-up shots of the gore of the piranhas chewing their way through some flesh, it is unbelievable. We also didn't talk about one of the cooler scenes in the movie, which is when they find, like, their lair.
Oh yeah,
the scene where they I don't know what they're. It's, oh yeah, Adam Scott's also in this.
That's right. Oh my god, dude. I love Adam Scott.
No, he's great here. And he's like from the Scientific Institute and he's there to check out these seismic readings, which is because of the piranha bursting out of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And they go down into this crevice and they find all the eggs of the piranha. And it's, you know, it's like a prehistoric piranha.
Yeah.
And they get, you know, and that's a fun suspense scene. What's cool is that the movie doesn't really, not every scene is the worst thing you've ever experienced.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the ending, they save it for this bright, you know, sunny day to experience what, you know, what they can really do in terms of the graphic nature of everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what's fun is it kind of gives you a little bit here and there to kind of move through. And you don't have to, like, just experience that all the time.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a great escalation, like you had said before. And, like, and I feel like there's a part in that, in the scene, where there's, like, no music even.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, like, you just get a couple of these, like, long, wide shots where it's just, like, observation. You know, it's like you hear, like, the water, you hear the waves, you just hear, like, the screams and the groans and, like, and it's just, you can't do anything about it, you know. As a viewer, always, you know, we're, like, out of control, you know, like, but feeling like those shots are just, like, putting you there, either, like, on a boat, like, right on top of what's going on, but safe, you know, or just, like, just seeing the oh my god,
it's really a great, like, modern grindhouse movie in the same way that I don't really care too much for Planet Terror, but Planet Terror is, like, really just, you know, it hit the buttons of what, like, a grindhouse movie, not what a grindhouse movie was, but, like, the spirit kind of, you know, they're not necessarily the same thing, because you watch Death Proof and you're like, this isn't a grindhouse movie either.
Right.
But
it
has a spirit about it that works.
Yeah. I love Planet Terror.
Planet Terror is fun. Yeah. No, and watching the two of them together is really interesting.
Mm-hmm. They're so different.
Yeah, absolutely. But, like, you know, something like Piranha, it has that, you know, go for it mentality that really works in, like, a modern sense. But and it has self-awareness, but not so far that it pulls its punches either, you know. There's a really great balance between just the graphic absurdity of it and the genuine craft of it too, because it's well made creature feature horror.
I definitely, like, when I have been, the few times I've gotten to be, like, talking to somebody about movies and then horror movies, it's like, oh, you like horror movies, do you love gore? Like, see Piranha 3D. But then I definitely make it a point to be like, it is the grisliest, like, stuff I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you like horror, but, like, get ready for this.
No, because it's so nuts.
Maybe you don't like so much gore, you know, because...
You're not as much of a gore hound as you think you are after you watch Piranha 3D. I should get a shirt. I survived the third act of Piranha 3D. Like, it's bad. I know my dad saw this, and I remember him saying, like, it was too much.
It is.
And I think that's perfectly reasonable. You know, when I hear some people say things, you know, about horror and violence, for me, I'm so desensitized that I sometimes can't trust what I'm showing someone.
Yeah.
And that's mm. that's no fault but my own.
Yeah. Or if someone's like, "Man, that was a brutal movie," it's like, mm.
"No, it wasn't."
Yeah.
You haven't seen Piranha 3D.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, it's true though about this.
Oh my god!
But it really claims a unique space for this type of movie, because you watch something like The Shallows. I don't know if you ever saw that.
No.
With Blake Lively.
I remember.
That was more of a survival thriller. Like something like she's on a rock and she's stranded and there's a shark that could attack her. Yeah. And she can't get to shore without having to deal with the shark. It kind of got absurd towards the end. But like for the first half, it's very much like, what do you do if you're a surfer and you're out in the water?
This
and
could happen.
It very, very based in some sort of realism.
Yeah.
And then you have something like Crawl, which this director also made, which is about a family that is stuck in a hurricane. They're at a house, and I think it was a daughter going to visit her dad, and her dad got injured under the crawl space trying to deal with stuff, prepping for the hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
She goes down there, finds him. They both realize that there's like two or three crocodiles or alligators in the crawl space, and they have to get out. And it becomes like a very like one location sort of a thing. Dope. It does get absurd towards the end, which that's what I want. Give me the munching crocodile goodness. Give me the alligators chewing on everybody. It does do that, but it also is like a little bit more based in some sort of like crocodiles or the alligators. They came in because they wanted to get out of the storm, and everything moves when there's a hurricane involved. Mm-hmm. So
and maybe they're hungry.
Yeah, exactly. This has so much more of a, it's like a risk. I don't know, to put this movie in theaters now, I feel like, and, you know, people would enjoy it for sure. And I'm not saying that audiences wouldn't be accepting of it. It did fairly well. It made its money back and then some, I think, but it certainly isn't looked back fondly, I think. But at the very least, it does go for it in a way that very few horror movies do now.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of movies from the 2000s went for it in a way that now it's kind of been replaced by this, it's like Hereditary, you know, there's brutality there, there's gore there, but it's very surgical. It's placed in a certain way. The ghosts and the demons and whatever else is being used is a metaphor. First and foremost, there's a connection to the characters first.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that is very interesting. And even stuff like The Shallows and Crawl, a very character based, how are these people going to get out of it? The characters here are disposable. Like the star of the show is either the nudity or the piranha.
that is
what you're here to see. So it's juvenile, it's sleazy, it's graphic, but it scratches an itch that very few movies I think scratch.
And it's like funny. Like you're saying, self-aware, and even like the cast reminds me of Sharknado. Where it's like a bunch of names that you know.
But I don't, that's the thing. I don't care for those because, like, you see something like this, and it's like, okay, well, it's like you're just doing the Sharknado bit, but you're giving me, like, proper, proper suspense, and then really, like full on carnage.
Carnage.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
You know,
it is.
Sharknado, at the end of the day, it's fun watching the sharks spin around in the tornado, but, at the end
it's so ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. It's aiming to be ridiculous. Here it's like it's aiming to be ridiculous, but it's also it's willing to push boundaries while it's doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and like at least in showing you what's actually happening and giving you a kind of an icky feeling while it's happening. So
And yeah, like some of the CG, like near the beginning, I remember kind of feeling like getting that Sci-Fi Channel feeling. I mean, yeah, that's like some of the first notes I wrote was like Sci-Fi Channel, Sharknado, you know, that like, self-aware. But, you know, we, I think, are like hyping this pretty good.
And maybe it won't, I don't know.
No, I think.
Do you think we're underselling? I mean, at least in terms of the violence, I think we've got it. If any listeners are listening right now and they feel like they haven't been adequately prepared for how violent Piranha 3D is, just move it up a couple notches because it is that violent.
Yeah, I think we're doing a very good job, even though it does feel like maybe we're going a little too hard on... I don't think we are. I think like,
you're second guessing yourself.
No, I do understand
the tendency of being like, this is the craziest thing you've ever seen.
Oh my god, it's the best movie ever made.
It's in many ways it's kind of terrible.
It's like the
it's a Piranha remake. I feel like saying that should give everybody some sort of like level expectation for what they're going to get in terms of characters and story. But you're going to get sunny beach vibes. You're going to get nudity. You're going to get a bunch of goofy character actors. Mm-hmm. Christopher Lloyd shows up in this.
That's right.
Only when I met him, I asked him about Piranha 3. I'd be like, what was it like to be on set for that day where you're like, this piranha hasn't been around for 3 billion years? Great Scott! Oh my God.
Yeah, just give us a Great Scott real quick.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, there's a lot of fun characters in this. It's goofy. It's having a fun time. And then it really decides to batten down the hatches and get to work.
It is not... We're not exaggerating in, like, how we're describing, I feel.
Yeah.
Like, that scene is, like, without a doubt, the, like, goriest, gruesomest, most grisly...
thing I've ever seen on screen. It's pretty nuts. Like, I recall seeing The Green Inferno, the Eli Roth movie, in the theater.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
And I remember that thinking, like, this is at a Marcus Theater. We're right across the street from a Walmart. It's pretty funny that this is, like, happening. That I'm watching this, and it, you know,
like it's allowed to be seen.
Like, I feel like why isn't this being censored? Of course, it's I know why, because, you know, it's good that art isn't censored. That's an absolute good. But also, like, you're watching it, and you're like, ugh, like this is nasty. But like, even that is like, you know, that has sequences. This has like the entire third is essentially just an orgy of carnage. So you didn't enjoy it? You didn't like it?
It was all right.
Yeah.
Dude, no, for real. Like, what a treat. Totally unexpected.
Yeah,
like when you said Piranha 3D, I was thinking of the first one. You know, I expected some similarity or, you know, like a B-movie kind of a deal. Like having fun, you know. You were billing it as like summer horror because it was kind of around like Memorial Day or so, I think is around when we watched it. So it was like, I mean, it's still summer now, basically, you know, we're getting there, but it was like right in summer when we were watching it. So it was a great, great pick. And then, man, did I see some shit. Holy fuck. Like, I've
seen things you people wouldn't believe.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it. Man, like, I can't wait to, or just, like, I love now being able to, like, bring it up.
Yeah.
And just be like, if someone loves horror movies, it's going to be the first thing I'd, like, I just saw Piranha 3D, and holy fuck, if you haven't seen it, go watch it, because damn.
Yeah. There's a ruthlessness to it. There's a dedication to the thrills and the carnage and the blood.
Like, I almost feel like it doesn't, like, need to be a Piranha remake. Or like, I don't even care that it's about Piranha. Yeah. I mean, they're the ones who are responsible for all the violence in the scene, but it's like this scene is like, you know, just its own thing.
I've never seen a sizzle reel like this before. Like Greg Nicotero could take this around and be like, this is what I can do.
Yeah.
You know,
just
like
that one thing.
Take it to whoever's making the next, you know, Vicious War film and just be like, here you go.
Yeah.
You know, this is what I get. You know, honestly, comparing this to any other film, it'd be like maybe the opening of Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
You know, and even, I mean, if this is more violent than that, but
yeah,
Saving Private Ryan also has a, not a duty, but a some sort of understanding to make it respectful in addition to showing the reality of, like, what happens to bodies, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I still think that movie kind of gawks at death. I mean, that's what happened on that beach, but also, mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. watching it, you're just like, I'm thrilled by this, and it's, like, disgusting, but also, like, you know, hearing the guy, like, he calls for his mom, and it's, like, it's heavy, and it's really complex. You're not going to get that complexity here, of course. You're just getting eyeballs getting ripped out of this socket.
Visceral, dude.
But, like, in terms of intensity, it's you can't even really compare it to other horror films in a lot of ways. Because, you know, something like Halloween, the Rob Zombie Halloweens, like, those are vicious in a way that's meant to make you feel horrible and feel the pain.
Scared.
Yeah, and, like, to terrorize, kind of.
Yeah.
This is still fun. Like, Piranha 3D is still, like, kind of goofy and, like, just, like, absurd. Mm-hmm. But the level of violence is the same, which makes, like, this really strange, like, I don't know which way this is actually going.
Yeah, because, and then the sunlight, too, is just like, how do you make the day scary? That was one thing I loved about the Silent Hill movie.
Is,
like, the first one is, like, the way that the fog is, like, it's bright, you know, but it's, like, you still don't know what's beyond, like, the few feet that you can't see.
And you see the monsters kind of crawl out of there. It's
like
scary.
It's like invert the darkness, you know, where it's like, oh, you can't see because it's too dark. It's like it's daytime and it's bright, but it's still the unknown, and you don't know, like, what's out there, you know? So it's, like, scary. And I feel like it's hard to make the daytime scary.
Yeah.
You know, like Midsommar kind of has, like,
oh, totally. That's really good,
you know,
for that.
But this, too, it's
The,
like,
Wicker Man is great for that.
It's like you get to see all the gore, you know, which is, like, once it finally gets to that moment in Piranha 3D, it's like, it's just such a joy.
I know. I do love it when movies, like, are just like, here's monsters in the sun.
Yeah.
You know, we want you to see what we're showing. And, you know, a lot of, especially modern monster movies are like, we're gonna throw all these effects and lightning and clouds and debris.
Yeah.
And, you know, my cynical way of looking at it is, oh, they're covering up the effects, and it's easier to animate debris than it is to show Godzilla in the bright daytime or whatever. So there's all of that, of course.
And we learned a bit from Jaws about, you know, like, not showing.
Yeah, hide the monster, be like Jaws. But sometimes I want to see an entire school of spring breakers get attacked by a school of piranha. Who will win? You know, it's like nuclear bomb versus coughing baby. they stood no chance. But yeah, I'm really happy that I brought this up because I do think a lot of people... I knew you would appreciate it, but I think a lot of people are unprepared for what it is. Not that it's daunting. It's just... No. At a certain point, you're watching it, and you're like, oh, this isn't holding back, is it? And then it's kind of that for the rest of the movie.
I was unprepared, for sure. And, like, dude, I know I was going, like, oh my God, you know, like.
I mean, there you go, folks. It'll make you make those noises.
Oh, my God,
but,
dude.
Well, Corey... thanks as always.
Yeah, thank you for choosing one of the best, most awful things I've ever seen. Dude, I'm so glad. That was awesome. Everybody, watch it.
Yeah, check out Piranha 3D. Mm-hmm. We're still in summer. At least in my area, it is like 80 to 90 degrees every day. Crack open a cold one and watch this. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, so good. Such a great choice. Definitely worth another look.
Is it violent, do you think?
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like, maybe it's not, you know, the best movie that's ever been made. But
it's number two.
But going back...
Behind Oppenheimer.
It's worth going back and watching it again, you know?
Totally.
I know, like, it had been a while to get to this point now for us to finally talk about it, and I have been thinking about it.
That's cool, though, because, like,
so hard to not think about.
I was curious if we were going to have anything to say about it, considering, like, like images from it come up in my mind all the time. And whenever I'm like looking at the disc or whatever, or you know, the DVD comes in, I'm like, oh yeah, like this is, I remember these images. They're like imprinted on my brain.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy that the absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yep. Yeah. Dude. Great pick.
Awesome. On a handshake.
Yes, here it is.
Yes. And everybody, stay safe in the water. And we'll see you next time on Another Look. Thank you.